You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Well, I don't know about you, but I am a sucker for a good rom-com. And there is a must-read right now. It's called Inka, Where's Your Husband? It tells the story of Inka. She is a woman of Nigerian and British descent, living a really wonderful life in London, but she's grappling with the pressure to find a life partner. And along the way, she's faced with things like society standards of beauty, colorism, religion, as well as cultural expectations. And of course, that ever-present pressure there is for women in particular to settle down. We are lucky enough to have Lizzie Domilola Blackburn. She is the author of this enchanting new novel, and she's with us today to chat more. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So I have to say, I enjoyed this book so much. And what I found is that Inka is such a rich character and she's so multi-layered. I mean, how did you come up with her and this voice that she has?
Yeah, so I've been writing the Inka for like 5 years, roughly 5 years. So I was with her for a very long time. But I knew from the get-go that I wanted to write a character about a Black woman who doesn't necessarily fit into the strong Black woman trope or like the cool Black chick. I kind of wanted her to be a bit awkward and to, you know, not be in tune with social media, be a bit outdated, but also like in tune with like social in tune with like London culture and Black culture as well. Mm-hmm. And so I drew lots of inspiration from TV shows such as Girlfriends and Insecure, because the lead characters in that, they are kind of like awkward Black women. And also I drew inspirations from authors like Sophie Kinsella and Lindsay Kelk, so romance chick lit authors who kind of share that witty, funny writing voice that I do. So it's been a mixture of all those things.
Ian, it's interesting that you mentioned Sophie Kinsella because I think I've read all of her books.
And I love her.
I love her. And I love that her characters they're quirky. I mean, and I would say that you see that in Inka as well. They don't have it all put together.
Yeah. So I really wanted Inka to be relatable. I didn't want her to be perfect. And I just kind of wanted to like show her real side, hence why I included things like the website searches where you can get insight into Inka's psyche. And I kind of feel like, you know, if you were to look at everyone's internet history browser, you'll kind of see a different side to people. So I just really wanted her to be a well-rounded, three-dimensional character with flaws and all.
And I mentioned in the beginning, she is of Nigerian and British origin, as are you. So talk about that that culture and how there were certain cultural expectation placed on Inka. I mean, one of them is that her, you know, her younger sister is married. She's having a baby. So there is this, and not just pressure just from like her mom, but all of her aunties, right? It's any older woman basically asking her like, why aren't you doing this?
Yeah. So in Nigerian culture, like marriage is seen as a big deal and it's seen as the crown and glory of a woman's life. So I think many British Nigerian women can kind of identify with that of like, you know, as soon as you've graduated and got a stable job, the next thing is to kind of settle down and find a husband. And I also kind of wanted to show Inka grappling between being both British and Nigerian. So I know with myself, like when I go to Nigeria, like I don't feel British, I don't feel Nigerian enough. Like I'm seen as being too British. Mm-hmm. But then in some circles here in the UK, I don't feel British. So it's kind of been torn in the middle between the two. So I kind of wanted to reflect that kind of British Nigerian experience of, you know, always being quite conflicted and grappling with two cultures. Mm-hmm.
You know, I really related to Inka in some ways because she's 31 years old. And I met my now husband when I was 31. And there was, you know, here I had all of these things in my life, right? But no, there were very few questions, you know, especially with people who were older than me about my career, about my, you know, life goals, my aspirations. It was kind of like, tick tock, why haven't you found somebody? And there is such that sense for women, there is this pressure that there's almost a ticking time bomb. If we reach 30 and God forbid, we're not married. And I felt that with Inka. I mean, you did it in such an endearing way, but you, there was this, you feel this underlying tension.
And I wanted to kind of show like how much the pressure can get to someone. Because I feel like sometimes people are quite innocent with that question, like, you know, where's your boyfriend? Where's your husband?
Right.
But actually, it can have like a long lasting impact. Like, people can internalize that and think, okay, how comes I'm not married? And, you know, with Yinka, she kind of goes to the extremes where she feels like she has to set up this plan and even have to change herself in order to find love. And I think that's why when it comes to the ending, I don't want to give anything away, but I was very careful not to kind of tie everything so neatly, because in real life, you have like timelines and goals, and sometimes we don't always meet like our deadlines. So I just kind of wanted the message of self-love to kind of come through. Like, that's the most important love of all.
And you also have created this friend group. I mean, her best friend in particular, who, you know, talk about the tattoo that she has, because I think it speaks volumes about, you know, this friend group also helping Yinka find herself. I mean, how important was it to you to make sure that she had contemporaries around her that were also there to tell her, you know, it's okay to be who you are?
Yeah, so Nana is such a great friend, and she even like looks like Yinka. So she's dark skinned, you know, she's you know, very slim, skinny, but Yinka kind of struggles with that. But whereas with Nana, she embraces it and she feels like she's beautiful and she knows it. And that's why she says, you know, I am who I say I am. And with Nana, she's, I guess her love language is very much like words of affirmation. So she's the one that's kind of like always speaking life into Yinka and building her up. And I feel like each friend played a part in Yinka's self-discovery journey. You know, with Rachel, that's one of her cousins, but also a friend, you know, just her being optimistic and positive kind of gave Yinka hope. And then even with Ola, even though she kind of comes across as a bit standoffish, she's very much tough love and she doesn't want to see Yinka get hurt. And so she is saying things that might sound hurtful and blunt, but actually she doesn't want Yinka to be naive.
We all need a friend like that though. I mean, honestly, you really do. I do want to talk about Faith, but you did bring up the issue of Yinka having, you know, dark skin and Nana having that too. So this comes up, I think, about colorism, right?
Yeah.
And again, why take that into consideration when you were writing the book? Because in the book, it feels like Yinka is, she almost has this revelation in a way of realizing, oh, this has played a part in how I identify.
Yeah, good question. I just kind of felt like I couldn't write a story about a dark-skinned woman who also happens to have like short, kinky hair and not touch on colorism and texturism as well, because they're kind of like part and parcel of the same thing. And I kind of wanted Yinka Weja's husband to kind of hold a mirror up to society. So Yinka's seen, you know, light-skinned women, white women being put on a pedestal, and she doesn't see enough dark-skinned women in the media or in movies as love interests or in music videos. And she kind of internalizes that, and she feels like, you know, maybe she's not attractive enough, and maybe she's not beautiful. And it kind of has a knock-on effect on her self-esteem. So it was very important for me to kind of raise awareness of colorism and to kind of show how it looks like in reality. And it's been so heartwarming kind of hearing from readers, both Black readers and non-Black readers, saying, you know, thank you so much for including that, because it's been so informative and eye-opening.
Oh, I would agree with that. The other thing that I found fascinating about this is that you, there's a whole side of Inka about her faith and her religion. And I have to say, I think that in most of these rom-com, whether it's a movie, whether it's a book, you don't touch upon that. It's not a layer of a character. And so, A, why put that in there? But also, I'm curious if you got pushback from anyone when you wanted to add that depth of character to Yinka.
Really good question. So the reason why I included that is because I'm a Christian myself. And I remember like looking for like mainstream romance fiction with a Christian protagonist, and I couldn't find any. And I always made this commitment to myself that, you know, if I become a writer, I'm going to write the stories that I want to see. So I was like very passionate about, you know, touching on faith and Christianity, and also to show like people that Christianity is not just like this outdated faith. It can be, it can be quite personal. And Yinka has a very beautiful relationship with God, and she kind of sees God as a friend. And luckily, my agent, she's a Christian herself, and she understood like the message, and she really helped me to kind of like interweave some of that, and not to do it with a heavy hand, because the last thing I want is to, you know, to preach to people. So, and that's the thing that I didn't want to convey. I want to show Yinka that, you know, she's very open and she's not that kind of pious kind of person. And yeah, it, again, it's been really nice to see like religious and non-religious readers like just kind of rave about how faith is touched on in the book.
Because I think it's how so many people are, right? It is a part of who you are, whatever your faith may be. But it's not necessarily something that, A, we either talk about with people that we're not necessarily close to, or there's this stereotype of what a person of faith looks like. And I think you really did such a good job of showing the whole person of who Yinka is.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. So my last question is this. How did you, over the years of writing this book, find a way to balance tackling these, I mean, weighty issues that we've talked about, you know, colorism, faith, beauty standards, at the same time, this really is a romantic comedy. I mean, there are parts of the book where I laughed out loud, yet at the same time, you know, you're teaching me as well.
Do you know what? It all came in stages. It really did. Like there were some issues that I didn't even know that I was going to touch on, especially like mental health, which kind of took me by surprise. So I guess to answer your question, it's just a case of like editing and editing and more editing. and also my editors as well were absolutely fantastic, because they really helped me kind of like dial back the areas where I was doing more telling as opposed to showing, which is really important, because the last thing I wanted was for my author voice to come through. I wanted the characters to kind of speak for themselves. So I guess editing is basically the, was what
it's
did
the
it
key,
really.
Right? Well, I want to thank you so much. It was a lovely read. So thank you for taking time
so
to talk with us today. Absolutely. We've been talking with author Lizzie Damilola Blackburn. She is the author of the new rom-com novel, Yinka, Where's Your Husband? It is available now. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today. Our producers are Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. I'm Gemma Caudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.